Tonight is Monday, January 7th, Lael, 25th day of the month of Tevet. This is the Mishnah Shir, the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah Daf Memches Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Daf Memches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Where the Mishnah will begin to describe and spend quite a bit of time on the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim that is unique to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. We've come across it occasionally in the past, but from this particular Mishnah until the end of the Perek, there will be a major focus on various aspects of Nisuch HaMayim. So the Nisuch HaMayim itself, and we're going to see that this Yerushalmi weighs in heavily here, is a machloikis between the world and Rabbi Akiva. Everybody believes that Nisuch HaMayim's origin is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. In fact, quite often in Shas, when you want to demonstrate halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, there are three things that are mentioned together: Arava, Nisuch HaMayim, another halacha in Hilchos Eruvin are all halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It says 50,000 times. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Nisuch HaMayim has its origin in the text itself, based on the fact that on the sixth day of Sukkot, the Torah uses the word Unisochecha, and their libations, their pourings, so not only the wine pouring, but the mayim pouring as well. And according to the Yerushalmi, various halachos will emerge as a result of the debate, whether it is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, or it's what's called learnt out from the pasuk directly. So the Mishnah says, Nisuch HaMayim Ketzad. Sluchis shel zahav, machzekes shlosha lugim, hayim mimalei min hashiluach. A gold bowl was taken that contained at least three lugin of water, and he used that to draw the water from the shiluach, from the spring. Outside of Yerushalayim, it's outside of the walled city of Yerushalayim. So says the Mishnah. Now, if you remember correctly, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, it was already mentioned at Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah on Mem Ches Amud Beis will quote it, five lines from the top, if you flip the page for just a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bilog hoya minaser kol shmona. Rabbi Yehuda said that they used to pour water on the mizbeach not shlosha lugim, but rather with one log. Plus, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that they were minasech mayim not only during 6-7 days of Sukkot, but on Shmini Atzeres as well. So there was a double machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. So many claim that if you wanted to just look at this machloikis itself, that the that our Mishnah, which is formulated obviously according to the Chachamim, hold that that Nisuch HaMayim, might be formulated. Yerushalmi says that the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is what exactly is the origin of Nisuch HaMayim. If you believe that Nisuch HaMayim's origin is in the text itself, Unisocheha, and it parallels Viniska, or Unis, the singular form that appears every other day, then you see that they both have the exact same address. They're obviously emerging from the korban, which is unique to the korban, to the Yom Tov of Sukkos, which we call the korban musaf. Whereas every other korban only has niske yayin, on the yontiv of Sukkos, the korban musaf has in addition niske mayim. Therefore, it stands to reason that just as niske yayin, the smallest amount always would be what? Umin chasam v'niskeem ki midubar, shloisha esroinim lapar, shnei esroinim la'ayil, shnei esroinim what? Right? What? No, every day. Every day. Umin chasam v'niskeem, shloisha esroinim lapar, shnei esroinim la'ayil, v'isorin la'keves, v'yayin kinisko. So Yayin Kinisko, it never says it's stipulated how much it is, but the Gemara Menachos says it's Shloisha Lugin. It's three Lugin of wine. Therefore, it stands to reason, if Nisuch HaMayim is in effect learnt out from the same source as what? As Niske Yayin, that it should have same shiur. It's just another type of Nisuch that accompanies the animal korban on the Yontav of Sukkos, and it's just a little different than any other Musaf. Every other Musaf only has Niske Yayin, this has Niske Mayim. However, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that no, that there is no connection between the volume that is used for Yayin Shlosha Lugin, because he believes that the origin, the source of the mitzvah of Niske Yayin has nothing to do with the Torah text. It's not learned out from Unisocheha, it's a halacha l'mayshim Sinai. And as such, as a halacha l'mayshim Sinai, it's just a halacha of the Yomtiv of Sukkos, but not necessarily related to the korban musaf, and hence it can enjoy its own shi'ur. So says the Yerushalmi. The difficulty with that is that it would establish that the Mishnah, which we are reading right here, is being formulated in accordance with the Das Yachid of Rabbi Akiva, whereas the overwhelming majority of Chachamim, Tanaim, and everybody else believed that it was Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. And the Stam Mishnah here would be buying in only to Rabbi Akiva's position, who happens to say that it's learned out from the Pasuk itself. But so says the Yerushalmi, that it does emerge from this particular Machloikas. From this Machloikas. So that's point number one. Continues the Mishnah. Let's stop 1 second. So they took the water from the Shiluach. The Ritva writes, why is it that they had to take the water from the Shiluach? What other source in the Mikdash could they have used for the Nisuch HaMayim? What other source? The Kiyar. Exactly. Why couldn't they take the water from the Kiyar? So the Ritva writes, and this is dependent on another Machloikis.
Where is the water from the Kiyar?
What? Oh, that's going to be another Machloikis. That's exactly what it's going to be depending on. The Ritva writes that the reason why the waters could not have been taken from the Kiyar is because there is a halacha that Nisuch HaMayim must come from a fresh spring source. Based on the fact that one of the psukim for which the Gemara will associate, even though it's not the origin, obviously, but associate the halach of Nisuch HaMayim, is the pasuk which we recite during Havdalah, U'sha'avtem mayim b'sason mima'ayinei ha'yishua. So, if you're drawing water, where is the drawing water from? From ma'ayan. And the waters of the Kiyar, according to the Ritva, could be from Mayim HaMichunasim, gathered waters of a utensil. It need not be from a fresh spring. Hence, they had to go to the closest spring that might be available for the Nisuch HaMayim. So if you go in, which one of those tunnels? Which brecha? The outside, what? Which one is that? It's a big, famous tall place. You got to get your feet all wet. Right? The Chizkiyahu
brecha.
What?
Gichon to
Shiloh. That's it. So that, you go there, you'll be stepping into the water, supposedly, from which they drew the water for the Nisuch HaMayim. And it's based on this pasuk. And the Shita Mekubet says, challenges this based on the Mishnah, which we're going to read in a second. If you flip the page for just a second, at least a second. The Mishnah says, the last two lines of the Mishnah, Nishpecha, what happens if they went and gathered the water? And then some klutz knocked over the water. It was sitting there in a bowl. You know, some little kid knocked over the bowl. No, there's no more water. Or nisgalsa. It was exposed. This is a halacha which the Mishnah and the Gemara took very seriously. She'asur lishtot mayim migulin. You are never permitted to drink any water that has been exposed. On account of the fact that they believed that there were snakes and poisonous little creeps crawling into the water, and you would die after they deposited their venom into the water. And there was a Isur Gomor, and the Gemara says that that Isur was taken more seriously than any other Isur, because Chamarta Sakanta Me Isura. You are more stringent when it comes to the potential loss of life than even a halachic iser. And there were no dispensations granted whatsoever for mayim migulin. There is a halacha that the only type of item that can serve on the mizbeach is something that we are permitted to what? To eat. The Gemara learns it out from, there are two different sources. One of the sources is the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, that this mitzvah, yeah, mitzvah zos, beficha bilvavcha la'asoysay, says the Gemara, minamuta beficha, only that which you're allowed to put in your mouth. So therefore, for example, anything related to sanctity, you cannot write a Sefer Torah on a hide that comes from a trefa, an avela animal. Why? Because it has to be minamuta beficha, tefillin. All elements of kedusha have to have this halacha minamuta beficha. If the waters were migulin, even though it's not a din d'oraisa, obviously you can't find a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to drink exposed waters, but since lahalacha they did not drink it, they considered it, under ordinary circumstances, disqualified for nisach hamizbeach. So what would you have told these people once to, if the Ritva was 100% right? What do you have to do? Don't look at the Mishnah. What do you have to do? Go back to the Shiloach. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Nisgaus nishpecha o nisgausa hayimimale min akiyar. They fill up the little bowl from the kiyar itself. So obviously it's only a din lechatchila that it should come from the Shiloach, based on the pasuk shaftamayim, this is some mimani ha-yeshua. But ekronit, fundamentally, it doesn't have to be from fresh waters, and can be waters that are already currently sitting in a bowl. And therefore he challenges this particular interpretation and claims that it's not simply not accurate. Simply not accurate. And it all might depend on how you interpret the Gemara's opening phrase. I know we're just skipping a little ahead, but this is what the Shita Mekubetza suggests. The Gemara's question is, Minohani Mili. Minohani Mili. So when you see that phrase introduces many discussions in Talmud Bavli. You have a Mishnah that records a halacha, and the Gemara says, Minohani Mili. You know, from Vana Vesmendas. How do you know? What's the origin of this halacha? But there are 5-6 halachas in this Mishnah. And the Gemara doesn't tell us which question it's trying to address. And that in itself is subject to a debate. According to the way I misled you initially, the Gemara is asking the simple question, how do I know that one is obligated to go ahead and bring the waters from where? From a fresh spring water. And they quote the Pasuk, Shaptamayin Hashem, Mayin Yeshua. But others claim that that's not the intention of the Gemara. In fact, Rashi is of the opinion, if you take a look at Rashi, what does Rashi say? Minahani Mili. What? Shetokin umirian b'shiva samayim shel nisach. Rashi says we're not asking for a pasuk of what might be the origin that the water has to be freshly drawn from the Shiloah. We want to know, how do I know, as we'll read in a minute, that there is a mitzvah of sounding the shofar when the waters come. So what does the Gemara answer? Ushafta mayin b'sason. So the emphasis is not mimani ha-yeshua, the emphasis on ushafta mayin b'sason. So if the Gemara is not asking that question, you have no right to use the source and suddenly extract the halacha that it has to be, fresh water. Because the Gemara is not asking such a kasha. But if the Gemara's question, minahani milis, how do I know it's supposed to be water from the Mishiloach, then you can say that is, that's what the Gemara is asking, and you can establish that at least lechatchila, such is the case. Such is the case. So, but undoubtedly the Mishnah does make that assumption, that initially you should draw the water specifically from the Shiloach. So now what happens? Hegiyu l'shar hamayim, tiku v'heriyu v'tiku. They come to a gate, and the gate has been identified specifically as what? As Shar HaMayim. Very nice. Shar HaMayim. And it's called Shar HaMayim because that's where they brought the water in. Many Rishonim use this occasion about how they brought in the Mayim through a specific gate. They use this as an opportunity for us to teach us another halacha about entering into the Mikdash. There is a pasuk in Yechezkel. We will read it in Yitzhah Hashem, the Haftarah of Parshas HaChodesh, where Yechezkel in chapter 46 writes, Ubibo am ha'aretz derech shar tzafon lehishtachavot yeitzei derech shar negev. Yechezkel says that when you enter the Beit HaMikdash on the northern side, you should make a point of walking out on the southern side. That's what he says. And the question is, why? What is Yechezkel telling us? And the way Rishonim interpreted what he said is that as an expression of chiba, that you're attached to this place, you're not looking to demonstrate that my visit to the Mikdash is what? Is a burden upon me. What do you do? So the easiest thing would do is you come in and then you exit in, because if I come from this direction, most probably I'm going home in this direction. So the easiest thing would be is to just to make a reversal, make an about to our face and go out the same door. But that doesn't help generate the impression that we are looking for. So therefore Yechezkel says, no. If you come in through an entrance in the north, go out Yetse Darach Sher Negev. Go out through the south. In other words, you'd have to go through the entire concourse of the Harabayit in order to exit. And same thing in reverse. Why? It's an expression of Chibat HaMakom. Always to enter in the same a different location and to literally walk through the entire expanse of the Harabayit to demonstrate that I'm not in a rush to get out of here. I'm prepared to take the long circuitous road home to make that demonstration. And there is a machloikis whether or not this applies even to a Beit Knesset or not. Many Rishonim believe that this halacha has no application to a Beit Knesset. However, the Gaon in Maseches Megillah amends a text on Daf Chof Tes Omud Aleph, where the Gemara says as follows: Hanichnas lebeit haKnesset mutar laasoso kapandria. Somebody who walks into a Beit HaKnesset, he is allowed to make the Beit Knesset a shortcut. That's what he writes. That's what the Gemara says. You're allowed to make the Beit Knesset a shortcut. You are never allowed to make the Beit HaMikdash a shortcut. So if you, it's a Mishnah in Brachos that you're not permitted under any circumstances. Rabbi Loza ben Shamua tells us in Megillah Daf Chav Chesamid Beis, that is one of the reasons why he was zoiche to arichus yamim. He was asked by his students, bameha erach de yamim, and the first thing he says, lo asiti beit haKnesset kapandria. I did not make a beit Knesset a shortcut. So if I had to go, if I'm in the social hall and I come upstairs, I'm not going to walk through the beit Knesset to get to the parking lot, instead of walking outside. So if Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua says that for that he's going to be granted Arichus Yamim, apparently there's no Issa to do it. Because if there was an Issa to do it, for what do you deserve Arichus Yamim for doing what the Halacha says you're supposed to do? So the way the Gemara reads simply is that as opposed to Beit HaKnesset, and that's where the sugi there in Megillah is debating that, how far do we take the equation of umikdashi tira'u, that there is a sense of yira obligatory not only for the Beit HaMikdash but for a Beit Knesset as well? How far does that parallel go? So, you know, in the Beit HaKnesset, you go on the Har HaBayit, you have to take off your shoes, right? So there was some Rishonim who discussed maybe we should legislate that we daven like Muslims. We take off our shoes in the Beit Knesset. And they didn't accept that, because we don't go completely in this equation. Well, that's one of the things which the Gemara also did not establish the connection. There is no obligation, there is no Isur to make a Beit HaKnesset a Kapandria. The Gaon, Alatar and Megillah, changes the word Mutter to Mitzvah. Mitzvah. Hanichnas lebeit haKnesset, mitzvah lasot kapandria. And everybody asks, where do you get this business from? And the answer is, the Gaon got it from the Halacha Mikdash. That if you want to demonstrate chibat hamikdash, and want to demonstrate that this is not a burden for me, I enjoy my visit here, so you make a point of walking through the entire expanse. Well, the same thing is true about a shul. If a shul has a front exit and a back exit, obviously it would be a lot easier to go out to the back exit to get your coat faster than anybody else. But here they're telling you, no, go out through the front, go all the way around the building in order to what? To make that demonstration. So the goal, you should just know that. It's important. You'll go to Glad Express. You know, most people don't know what I'm doing.
Don't we do it also with an aliyah to the Torah? Oh, we take the shortest distance to the Torah.
That is correct. We're going to get to that a little while. That might be one origin. There might be a second origin, which we'll be touching upon in our mission as well. We'll talk about that. That's a very good point. Right, but there it's a halach of kavod, right? Here it's an expression, because there would be nothing wrong if I walked in and davening's over, why do I have to go to the other side of the shul? Here we're looking to make a demonstration, I want to step on every foot, every square inch of the shul, this is my community. And as I said, it's not necessarily related to this, but since the Mishnah talks about entering Derech Sharamayim, so certain Rishonim use this as an opportunity to remind us of our obligation when you come to the Beit Knesset. And as I said, the Gaon believes that it applies even to a basic Beit HaKnesset as well. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. So Yegi'u Sharamayim, Tiku V'Hariyu V'Tiku. They would go ahead and sound the shofar, and the origin of sounding the shofar as an expression of simcha is found in a pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha. In Bamidbar chapter 10, the Torah writes that there are two occasions when the chatzotros have to be sounded. When do they have to be sounded? Either a day of crisis, If we're attacked or there is a crisis, or uvyoyim simchaschem uvmoadechem uvrashi chadshechem uskatem b'chatzotzros alolosechem v'alzivchei shalmechem. So whenever there is an element of simcha, that simcha is expressed by the sounding of the shofar, and that pasuk also happens to be the origin that in the Beis Hamikdash there's a chi of simcha even on Shabbos, because uvyoyim simchaschem says the Sifri elu hashabbosos, because uvmoadechem is already there, right? It says uvyoyim simchas uvmoadechem uvrashei chadshechem. So what's uvyoyim simchaschem mean if it already says moadechem? So therefore it says elu shabbosos. And I mentioned the shir when Gemara shir a couple of weeks ago, that's why Nusach Ashkenaz limits the phrase Yismechu b'malchuscha shomer Shabbos b'kari oneg only to Tfilat Musaf on Shabbos, because that reminds us of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash is a chi of simcha, as opposed to the Svardim who say it every day by Shacharis and by because there's no real chi of simcha. But anyhow, so they blew the shofar, tikkur Rabbi Yitzchak. Right. Then moving on later in Sukkah, in the fifth parak, there will be a major discussion about all the times and how many times they blew the chatzotzros. Sukkot was the number one time a year when the chatzotzros were brought, because there are so many korbanos musaf. So they're going to have a lengthy discussion about the number of tkios that were brought, sounded during Sukkot and every other day. Ola bakevesh upana lismolo. You walk up the ramp and you face to the left. Pana lismolo. So here let me explain what's happened. The ramp in the Beis Hamikdash was placed on the southern side of the Mizbeach. On the southern side of the Mizbeach, it was 16 amot wide, approximately 32 feet wide. And when you walk up the ramp, you are now facing you're walking in a northerly direction. The ramp is on the southern side, and when you walk up, in a northerly direction. The halacha is that every time you walk in the Beis Hamikdash, kol pinos sha'atapone, einatapone el yamin. Anytime you have to make a turn in the Mikdash, it's a right-hand turn only. No left-hand turns in the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, when you, if you just imagine, this is the Mizbeach, so you come up the ramp, so even if I had to get to this corner over here for some reason, I can't just come and make a left-hand turn to get to this corner. I got to go all the way around, because you always have to travel to the right. So says the halacha. So when you walk up the ramp, what it means, upana, doesn't mean you're turning to the left. It means your face is to the left. When you will be making your right hand turn, this part of your face is towards the left, and you always make the right hand turn, and your face is always on the left side of your face, inside of the Mizbeach. This particular halacha is found by every single korban, and any time they walked on the Mizbeach. There is a debate whether the halacha of kol pino shatapone is limited only to Mikdash, or does it apply in Beit HaKnesset and other situations as well. Assuming that it applies in Beit HaKnesset as well. Let's assume it does, and I'm going to show you it does not. Let's assume it does. So, if you are called to the Torah, right? Called up to the Torah. If you always would have to go moving to the right, never to the left, so now, depending on where you would be seated in the shul, that would determine whether you take the short or the long route to the Sefer Torah. The long route to the Sefer Torah. It would also determine whether you take the short or the long route on your way home back to your seat. And that's what some Rishonim accurately recommended. That in the Beit HaKnesset, you should also kolpinos sha'atapone enatapa eloliyamin. So if somebody was seated, let's say, just for argument's sake, where Moshe Bernstein stands. Everybody knows who Moshe Bernstein is. He's the only guy who has a makam kavua kavua. Where Moshe Bernstein stands, right? So if he would be called to the Torah, the easiest thing for him is just take two steps, walk up on the left-hand side. But if it would be kolpinos sha'atapone, he'd have to go through the aisle and come around, go up to the right. That's what would be the halacha. And that's some who believe that. However, we reject that, and we believe that in Beit HaKnesset, there is another operative halacha. That's the one you refer to. Always make a demonstration that you're in a rush to get to the Torah, and always make a demonstration that you're in the least rush to get away from the Sefer Torah. Therefore, you're supposed to take the short route getting up to the Sefer Torah, no matter what direction you're coming from, and you take the long route going back to your seat, no matter what direction you are talking. But in the Mikdash, demonstrating kavod for that location is inoperative. Because the easiest thing to do, if I had to get to this part of the Mizbeach, is just to make a left-hand turn. But I'm going to have to walk all the way around the Mizbeach, because in the Beis HaMikdash, kolpino sha'atapone einatapone ela liyamin. And indeed, in relationship to the Nisach HaMayim was done as where the pipes, where the Shitin, these two bowls, which the Mishnah will talk about, and they were not on the southern side of the Mikdash right there, they were on the northeastern side over here. So he had to go around the ramp until he got to that location, because in the Mikdash we operate with the halacha of kol pino sha'atapone ein atapone ela liyamin. Every time the kohen does that. So take for example any korban where the shechitas hadam has to take place, the zrikas hadam. Right? So it depends which side you, if you say Azel Mekayman, so you'll see how many places he has to sprinkle the dam. The Kayan has to walk around the Mizbeach, never go directly. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Shnei Sifalim Shel Kesef Hayusham. There were two bowls made out of silver in which the water was placed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shel sid hayu. Rabbi Yehuda says they were made out of plaster, not made out of silver. Elo shehayu mushcharin pnehen b'pnei hayayin. But after a while, when you put wine, it gets a little dark, and it looked like tarnished silver. So tarnished silver has this blackish look. So this plaster eventually looked like tarnished silver. So there is some discussion here, quite a bit. Tosfos raises the following issue. These bowls are made out of silver. The water was gathered, when the Mishnah said at the beginning of the Mishnah, it says, Nisach HaMayim Ketzad, Tzlucha Shel Zahav. So what question is Tosfos now going to raise? Knowing our understanding of how things operate in the Mikdash when you have a sequence of events. Malam B'Kodesh, Vayim Aridin. That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos quotes, if you'll take a look at the last Tosfos on the page, Tema, this is by Mir Avunder, I'm perplexed. Disnan B'Menachos, Perek Shtei Alechem, Shtei Shulchanos Hayo B'Ulam. There was not one shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Ulam, but there were two. Actually, it looks like, if you look through Tanakh, Shlomo HaMelech made a lot more than two. There were, may have been 8-10 shulchanot in the Mikdash. At least that's what the psukim seem to read in Malachim. But there were at least two. Echad shel kesef, ve'echad shel zahav. One was made out of silver, and the other one was made out of gold. Al shel kesef nosnim lechem hapanim b'knisaso. When the lechem hapanim are made, they are initially placed on the silver table. Va'al shel zahav b'yitziyato. when they're about to be taken by the last week, by the Mishmar Hayotzei, who would take their challah with them, they would then be placed on the gold table, and they were removed from the gold table to be consumed. And the Gemara explains why. Shema'alin ba'kodesh v'lo moridin. Because you're always supposed to escalate in Kedusha and never go down. And the assumption is that a shulchan made out of zahav is a higher level of Kedusha than a shulchan made out of kesef. That in itself is somewhat of a chiddush. It's somewhat of a chiddush that you're going to describe a spiritual concept of Malin Bakodesh based on the what? On the relative value of an item. It's a little unusual, but it can't help it. It's a Mishnah. Can't argue with it. So therefore, so what's Tosis' kasha going to be? How could they have started the water in a golden utensil, because the water was drawn at the Shiloach with Tzlucha Shel Zahav, and now transfer it to what? To these bowls, which happen to be made out of kesef. It's a violation of Malon Bakodesh Ve'en Moridin. So if you look at the last two lines of the Tosfos, Tosfos gives us some answer. V'yesh loimar, disfalim hayu kvuin besid velo kelim ninhu, dinechshavin kigufo shel mizbeach. Says Tosfos, the only time you can speak of Malon Bakodesh Ve'Moridin is within a given unit, within a category. When you're dealing with the category of a kli, you can say that kli A, made out of kesef, is of a lower sanctity than kli B, made out of gold. But these two bowls, although they look like bowls, they were not movable bowls. They were attached to the mizbeach itself. And it was part of the service of the korban, that you poured it into the bowl, and they had, as we'll learn later, have a little spout, and went into this little drain pipe through the mizbeach. So once it's part of the mizbeach, it is a ma'alin bakodesh. How? Up until now it's been in a kli shareis, and now where is the water going? The hakrav on the mizbeach. Hakrav on the mizbeach is a higher level of kedusha than when the water sits in a preparatory utensil, which we call a kli shareis. If these bowls had been detached, and it would be that you draw it in a gold bowl, then you transfer it to the silver bowl, and from the silver bowl you pour it onto the mizbeach, that indeed would be a violation of Malon Bakodesh Ve'Moridin. But since the bowls themselves, at this point, were already attached to the mizbeach, they forfeit their status as a bowl. It's considered part of the mizbeach itself. Once it's part of the mizbeach, it's already considered the hakrava. And once the hakrava is taking place, I'm not particularly interested, where it's coming from. Where it's coming from. And in fact, we know that the original mizbeach in the Mishkan, what was it made out of? Nechoshes. It's made out of nechoshes. So every time there would be and all of the kli shareis were made out of gold. So every time they did anything in the Beis HaMikdash, it should be a violation of what? Of Malon Bakodesh Ve'Moridin, because you're going from gold onto copper. But the answer is no. The Mizbeach itself has an element of Kedusha much greater than a kli shareis, and as a result it is Malon Bakodesh Ve'Moridin. So that's what Tosfos points out, claiming that these silver bowls happen to be attached to one another. The criteria of Malon Bakodesh is actually sometimes very difficult to diagnose when it is applied and when it's not applied. For example, some explain, there are two explanations offered why every day we put on our talus before tefillin. Why do you put on your talus before your tefillin? So what two explanations? Tadir v'sheinu tadir. Talus is 7 days, tefillin is only 6 days. That's one. Others say, no, it's Malon Bakodesh, Ve'en Moridin. That if I'm going to engage in two activities, talus has no kedusha whatsoever. It's tashmishi mitzvah. It's an article with you have a mitzvah, but there's no intrinsic kedusha in a talus. Tefillin, of course, have Kedusha by virtue of the fact that it has the Word of God written in it. So some say that you go from, you put on Talis first because of Malam Bakodesh Reima read it. In which case, you're dealing with two separate mitzvos, and you're still a plug because it's done at one sequence. So that might be the key. That if you're doing something in sequence, one to the next, that might be a halach of Malam Bakodesh Reima read it. If you remember, one of the difficulties, I think I once told you this, one of the difficulties in explaining the counter argument to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Hanukkah. Beis Hillel said that the reason why you have to go from one candle to eight candles is because Malam Bakodesh Veim Aridin. Okay, very nice. Malam Bakodesh Veim Aridin. Very nice. So you go from one to eight, not eight to one. Yet, Shammai says you go down because Pari HaChag went down. Okay? So the question is, why did the Parechah go down? Why did the Parechah go from 7 to 13? You'd get the same number every single time. You get the 70, just whether you go, why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say, B'yom HaRishon Shloisha Asar, and then, why is that? I don't know. There's some discussion, there's no really good answer to it. That why doesn't the Torah itself, and that's within the unit of the Purim. So the Rav once said, that shows us that every day of Sukkot is a different day of Yontif. That's the Gemara means, Chalukin Hein B'Korban Oseihen. One day has nothing to do with the next, and therefore it doesn't have to follow the guideline of Malam Bakodesh. It's only within a unit. Okay, but the Kasha is better than Teretz. The question is, why didn't the Torah itself go up? So it's sometimes a little difficult to determine when you say Malam Bakodesh and when you ignore this. When do you ignore it? Now, there is another interesting phenomenon about this transfer from the mayim, from the tzluchas to the gold. When you take a kli sharis, and the gold ones were a kli sharis, a utensil which performs a service of consecrating, of sanctifying. The halacha is that ein kli sharis mikadesh ela b'mikdash. So if a Kohen, for example, took a kli sharis from the Beis HaMikdash, a utensil, and he brought it to a Tel Aviv, and somebody wants to say, hey, Mr. Kohen, you know what? I'm a little too lazy to go up to the Mikdash. I want to bring a Karba Mincha. Can you just put the flour in right here, sanctify it, and take it with you? It's already a Karba, and I get it off my back already. It doesn't work. Why? Because the kli sharis' function only works the Mikdash. So several Rishonim raised the question, what do you mean you took a gold tzluchis and you went out to the Shiloach and you were mekadesh it with a, you know, what's going on? How did you do that? So some Rishonim kvetch and they say the following, that when the water is drawn from the Shiloach, indeed it has no kedusha whatsoever. Because the vessel in which it is in is only potent to be mekadeshit when it enters the mikdash. However, once it enters the Shar HaMayim, retroactively, it became kadosh from when? From when? From the time it went into the utensil. Why did they come up with such a thing? Because they wanted to demonstrate the chashivut of the she'iva itself. The she'iva itself. In fact, some Rishonim claim that this entire tekes of even doing it at the Shiloach was not like the Ritva said, that it was not kosher to take with what? With the mort of the kiyar. They could have taken tap water had they wanted to. But don't forget, as we are going to see later on the Mishnah, there was a segment of Klal Yisrael who denied the institution of Nisach HaMayim. Who were they? The Tzdukim. They didn't agree. They denied Nisach HaMayim. And in fact, we will learn a Mishnah where a Tzduki deliberately tipped over the water so that it couldn't be used. He deliberately did it. So, at times, whenever something was being challenged by the Tzdukim, the Chachamim made a public tekes, a public fanfare ceremony to demonstrate that these guys don't know what they're talking about. So part of the tekes was, if it's only done in the mikdash, how many people can have public exposure to it? You know, in the mikdash, not many people there. But if you start it outside of the mikdash, and you have a whole big fanfare, and the Medrash says that people used to escort the Nisuch HaMayim back to the, they would be singing Bimcholos and so on and so forth, they did it to publicize it. And that's the only reason why they decided to take the water from the Shiloah. They could have taken tap water. Kidei lefarsein, the tztukim don't know what they're talking about. And as a result, some Rishonim buy into that and claim that even though under ordinary circumstances, a kli sharet cannot be mekadesh unless it's in the mikdash, here, once it ended the mikdash, retroactively it was considered mayim mikudashim when earlier on, and as a result, it now attained its status by virtue of the fact that it's in the gold utensil in a retroactive way. What would be the difference, Rabotai, whether it is holy only when it enters the Shar HaMayim or retroactive? What would be the difference, obviously? What's the difference? If somebody decides they drink water on the way up from the water in the bowl, if it has no Kedusha whatsoever, one violates no Iser. But if they are retroactively mikudashim, sanctified, retroactively you will have now violated the Iser Me'ila of deriving personal benefit from something that has been sanctified for the Mizbeach. And you're not permitted to an Iser Me'ila, Iser Gzela from the Mikdash, Iser Gzela. So that's how some understand why the Shar HaMayim. I'll give you another example where they did a public tekes. If you remember the Gemara in Menachos, Ktsiras HaOmer, right? The Ktsiras HaOmer was done with enormous fanfare. They brought three members of the Sanhedrin, and they would stand there and tell them, not once, three times, cut this guy, cut the grain, cut the grain, cut the grain. Carry the grain, carry the grain, carry the grain. What are they getting all hooked on about cutting a little grain for the Omer? Because the Tztukim believed that the Ksiras HaOmer is always on Saturday night. Always on Saturday night, no matter what day of the week Shavuos is. So they wanted to demonstrate to them that this is not true. So you make a public ceremony, and this is how some explain this entire process here concerning the Shiloah, that it's really not Al-Pidin, but rather... it's just lefarsem to counter the tztukim. Now, what is the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama as to whether or not these bowls had to be made out of silver or had to be made out of plaster? What's the machloikis? So some explain the machloikis along the following fashion. We know there is a pasuk in Parshas Yisrael, where the Torah says, Lo sanif alehen barzel. That when you carve mizbach adama ta'aseli, lo sanif aleho barzel. No metal can be used in fashioning the mizbeach. Cannot be used. So what did they use to cut and trim the mizbeach? The anything in the mikdash, what did they use? They had this shamir, this little worm that used to cut things. But metal was not considered an acceptable item. Why? Because the Mizbeach is designed to promote shalom, and metal is designed to kill people, and as a result, it's not compatible. So, the Chachamim are of the opinion that this particular halacha only applies to something that what? That fashions the Mizbeach itself. The mere fact that it's attached to the Mizbeach doesn't affect the way the Mizbeach was, and having metal attached to the Mizbeach is not a concern, not a violation. Therefore, it could be made out of silver, which indeed is a metal. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, no, that this halacha of lo sanif alein barzel is not only applicable in the fashioning of the mizbeach, but anything associated with the mizbeach could not have been a metal. Hence, they had to make these little bowls into which they poured the Nisach HaMayim water, had to be made out of plaster. Then, as a result of the constant pouring of the wine into one of them, there were two bowls. One bowl was for the water, one was for the wine. It took on this appearance of tarnished silver, but in effect, it had to be, it could not be made out of any metal.
So, in the Beit HaMikdash, the covering was not nechoshet, as it was in the Mishkan?
No, in the real Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
No, it was made out of... I'm not sure what he made it out of.
Because I thought it was the ramp had to be, could not be known.
No, the Mizbeach itself. Right, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I have to check that. What was the Mizbeach? The regular Mizbeach in the Mikdash was made out of Atze Shittim, but was covered with Nechoshes. Only Nechoshes. So there is some metal on it. That's correct. But it's not fashioned. You know, that's correct. So what?
Covered
the stone. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. That would be a raya against this concern, because you have metal on it, you have the choshes on it. And the Mizbech Hazav is covered with gold. Right. You're right. That's a good point. Good point. Fine, let's continue. Says the Mishnah. Uminu kavin kimin shnei chotmin dakin. And these bowls had two little like straws coming out, like two noses coming out of it, which would now lead the water down the yisoy, down the foundation of the mizbeach. Echad meuveh ve'echad dak. One of them was very thick, and the other one was very thin. Based on the fact that water and wine flow at different speeds, and the attempt was, it's a pretty good trick how to do this, that the completion of the three lugin of water and the three lugin of yayin should expire at the exact same second. So the way they had to do it was have a wider column for the wine to allow more wine to exit, and a thinner one for the water because that flows a little more freely. I imagine they had it. You know, it's an interesting way because the Mishnah doesn't tell us how thick and how thin. One had to be thick and thin, and some Rishonim say they had to do experiments. To get it, they would adjust the thickness and the thin, depending on, because the trick was kadeshi kolim bevasachas. Achas me'aravo shel mayim, achas me'aravo shel mayim, mizrachol shel yayim. The western one, there were two placed, one next to each other. The one that was further to the west, closer to the west, was that of the Mayim, and the one closer to the east was the bowl in which they poured the Yayin. Ira shel Mayim, letoch shel Yayin, v'shel Yayin, letoch shel Mayim, yatza. If the Kayin made a mistake and poured it into the wrong bowl, nishke ferlach, you are yotze, the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is what we said before, Belug Haya Menasech Kol Shmoina. Rabbi Yehuda says that they only used one lug, and in addition, they made Nisuch HaMayim all 8 days, not just 7 days of Sukkot, but Shmini Atzeres as well. We already explained that. Uleminasech omerlo, and to the person who is pouring the water into these bowls, they told him, Hagbe yatcha, keep your hands raised. Make sure everybody can see that bowl of water, buddy. Shepam achad, nosach echad al gabe raglov. One time a Kohen who was pouring the water spilled the water apparently deliberately on his feet. Urugamuhu. Kol ho'em be'esrogehen, and everybody pelted him with their esrogen. And Now, this, the Rav once explained, why did they specifically pelt them with their esroigim? Let's assume that why did, if they had tomatoes, they still would not have used the tomatoes. If they had eggs, they still would have used their esroigim. Why? Based on the fact that the point of the stoning was to demonstrate why they're upset. This guy obviously does not willing to accept aspects of Torah Shebaal Peh. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is an essential element of Torah Shebaal Peh. Exactly. The esrog, our use of an esrog is predicated upon our loyalty to Torah Shebaal Peh. Because the Torah says, Ulekach Halacha creates Hadar. How do I know what it means in esrog? So, if you look at the Rambam in his Perush HaMishneh, the Rambam goes spends like 20 pages on this idea that never in the history of Klal Yisrael has Priyetz Hadar ever been interpreted by anybody other than an Esrog. And as a result, it's Kabbalah L'Moshe Misinai, Moshe Rabbeinu came down. If you look in Encyclopedia Judaica, they disagree with the Rambam. And Encyclopedia Judaica claims that the Esrog never existed in the Middle East until many, many years later when it was brought from regions in the Far East. It was never existed. And at the time when Am Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, Pre-Eitz Hadar was something else. They speculate, they suggest a couple of other things, that the Etrog was not always used as the Pre-Eitz Hadar, and it only took place, they claim, I think it was not, sometime around the first base on Mikdash. That's when it became standard as the Pre-Eitz Hadar. Okay, so they didn't look at the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos in his introduction to Mishneh Torah, where the Rambam writes, Perush HaMishnayos to Mishneh, where the Rambam spends a lot of time on his understanding of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh. So here too, they stoned him with the Esroigim to indicate how upset they were with this guy. And there's no doubt, there's much evidence in the Mishneh that many times that Stukim had control of the Beis HaMikdash. No doubt about it. The fact that they had to be Mashbiah the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom Kippur and make him take an oath that he was going to do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim following the Prushim and not the Tzdukim, and they had to tie a chain onto his leg that in case he dies, they pull him out. You know, that's an indication that they were pretty suspect. They really suspected that, in fact, the Gemara tells us there was this famous Tzduki Kohen Gadol. And he was looking forward, and his wife is saying, now we're going to do the Avodah like the Tzdukim. And he went in, and he did the Avodah like the Prushim. And he got cold feet. And his wife was screaming at him afterwards, what kind of business, you're a traitor, you're a traitor. But he said he was afraid he was going to die. That's what he said. He was afraid he was going to die. He didn't want to risk it. You know? The one little change in the whether you do the Keteris inside or outside, he wasn't going to take the chance. But there was no doubt that they had control, and therefore they took these precautions. Ki maseyu b'chol, kach maseyu b'shabbos. The activities of Nisach HaMayim per se follow the same pattern, the same ceremony. When Sukkot comes out, when any day of Sukkot is during the week, or it's on Shabbos. Ela Shahayim Mimali Me Erev Shabbos. The gathering of the water is not Doicha Shabbos, because it's not an integral part of the Avodah. And that again proves that what? That it didn't really have to be from the Shiloach. Because once they draw the water on Erev Shabbos, and they're using that for Shabbos, what? It becomes, it's possibilina. The water becomes possible having spent the night not fulfilling its task. So that's again proof that the halacha of the water from the Mayan had to only be lechatchila, because they couldn't do so whenever you're dealing with Erev Sukkot on Shabbos. And what did they do? Chavishalzav she'ena mekudeshes min hashiloach. So what they did was they took a utensil that was not mekadesh the water. Because if they were going to be mekadesh the water, then it couldn't be used, because it would be pasul belina, having spent the night. Umanicha belishka, you leave it in one of the chambers. Nishbecha nitgalsa hayamamale minakiyar shahayayin vahamayim megulin psulun legabe mizbeach. Because all wine and all water, as we said earlier, which are exposed, are possible for the mizbeach. What?
Except for Rashi.
What do you mean?
Rashi doesn't say that.
What does Rashi say?
Rashi says that it's because they were worried that you wouldn't have the proper amount of water.
That you what?
Because you have the venom mixed in with the water, you wouldn't have the proper amount of water.
Okay. Yeah, that, yeah, he does say that. That is correct. That's correct. Okay. All right, we'll stop here.